if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is the open declaration of the planetary and interplanetary Lords of Light. And perhaps we could add to that as a subtitle, today's signs preceding the day of declaration. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the anointing of the Supreme Christ, that soul, that divine principle that you are, as love, wisdom, allow that to enter the top of your crown chakra and flood through your whole body. Just see that washing right through you, clearing, transmuting, healing, and Christing every cell of your being. And this time, as you take a deep breath, visualize the divine Christ presence, that principle that we call love, wisdom, as a radiant sun right in the middle of your chest. And as you take a deep breath, expand. Deep breath. Expand, 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 expand. Fill your whole room, wherever you are, with the love wisdom of the Christed principle that is your own divine self. Fill the room. And you know what? You don't ever need to stop with your body or your room. You just keep expanding. That's what divine light and life is all about. It's expanding the kingdom of God. But you know what? The kingdom has come in you and as you. Because what is the kingdom of God but simply a world in which people have awakened to the Christ principle as their own innermost self? Call it the soul, if you wish. Call it the inner Krishna, if you wish. Call it the inner Maitreya, if you wish. Call it the Kalki Avatar, if you wish. Call it whatever name you like. Call it the Buddha, if you wish. Call it the Iman Mahdi, if you wish. Call it Messiah. Regardless of what you call it, it is the presiding, governing principle that infuses purpose into our solar system. Because our whole solar system is a university for the learning and expansion of that Christic principle we call living love, or love wisdom. And so the great brothers, Buddha, represented the wisdom aspect. And the one we in the West have called the Christ represents the love principle. But it's the same divine love, regardless of the term that has become, let's say, co-opted by certain religious persuasions. But that one that we call the supreme head of the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, that one is known by many, many, many names in every tradition. But his real name is the Buddha Maitreya. And he comes forward at this time for the first time since Atlantean days with his masters of wisdom to live openly in the outer world, conducting his and their schools of initiation and ascension, living openly, available. Probably you'll even be able to see them online. Who knows? They might even have a Facebook page. They might even tweet. You know, these great elders, let's say, not that they're old, but elders in terms of their evolutionary status, you're going to be able to physically walk into, say, for example, Lord Maitreya's school and stand before him to take the first two of your initiations. Isn't that amazing? Thousands and thousands and thousands, perhaps millions of men and women on the planet today are ready to take their first initiation, which is the birthing, the first birthing of the Christ in the manger of the heart. Oh, how thrilling is this day in which we stand. I want to share with you some of the signs that have been foretold would come to announce that day of declaration, when the great Lord stands forth as himself, speaking as himself, and introduces any of the masters that we're familiar with. About 2 days ago, Ashtar gave me a very brief message. He simply said, declaration imminent. Now, I'm used to Ashtar saying, soon, which we have found out really means years. Ashtar soon is not our concept of soon, but I've never heard him use the word imminent. So it really got my attention. And here's what happened. Today, the most amazing star tetrahedron, Merkaba, crop circle, appeared in the UK. And today, for those of you who might be listening, goodness knows, years from now, today is the 19th of July, 2017. And this magnificent star tetrahedral Merkaba perfect crop circle appeared in the UK where they usually appear. And who makes these crop circles? Well, primarily they're made by Commander Soltec's Phoenix Fleets, which is a subsidiary of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And he is a Martian that comes and produces most of the crop circles, which are Martian, but probably an equal amount are also produced by the Venusians, with an occasional one here and there from Jupiter. Can you tell the difference of them? No, not really, except the Martian ones tend to be a little bit more yang, let's say, a little more angular, a little more technological. And the Venusian ones are like the Juliet set, you know, the really flourishing kind of lyrical patterns. But anyway, that's a little aside. That happened today. Yesterday evening, get this, I saw the most fantastic video I've ever seen of dancing spaceships that look like orbs that danced and formed a line, and then they intersected and they joined in two, and they did all sorts of formations, and then they joined into a huge round orb, all different colors, and separated again. And they kept joining and separating and joining and separating and doing all of these maneuvers. And the video was filmed by two young ladies on the Malibu beach, not too far from where I am right now. And Malibu in California, Southern California, is adjunct city or township or whatever you want to call it, area from Los Angeles, California. And it's also the place where many, many movie stars live. You've all heard of Malibu, I'm sure. But it's a well-known fact that there's a subterranean extraterrestrial base in right off of the coast of Los Angeles. There have been many, many spaceships since the 40s that have been seen coming and going in and out of the water. Whole fleets of them. So anyway, those four dancing orbs, spacecraft, star-like, circular, orb-looking spaceships are one of the major signs foretelling the imminent time for the Day of Declaration, when the world teacher, I'm going to call him that, but his name is Maitreya, is going to appear and everyone will be able to see him. And where they're not able to actually see him in some form of media, they will hear his message inwardly of the divinity within each of us and our need to get in contact with that and our need to awaken and share the planet as a family of light. And who knows what else he will say. But everyone will hear telepathically, inwardly, in their own language, his message. And at the same time, he is going to fill us with his love. A love so intense that probably many, many people will find themselves awakened and healed, maybe even totally enlightened. Who knows? Who knows really what it's going to be like? But everyone over the age of 14 or 14 and over will have that experience directly. Children under that age will probably be asleep or placed into a sleep-like condition so they're not overstimulated, but also for the fact that young children inherently know their divine nature before it's indoctrinated out of them. All young children know God. It's just we that try to convince them otherwise as we get our condition clutches on them, unfortunately. Also today, there were worldwide earthquakes, so much so that it looked like the whole planet was covered with earthquakes. I've never seen what they showed, you know, on the internet today as to what was occurring worldwide earthquake-wise. And this shows that the Earth is adjusting to the powerful incoming energies and the intense solar flares. It's part of the adjusting as the Earth moves to accommodate and expand and embody more and more of her own Christic self. So So our planetary hierarchy is in process of emerging and living physically and openly in our modern world. Already some 15 of 40 masters who have decided to live openly in the world are already living in the major centers, which represent the major chakras of the earth, and also in many cities that represent minor chakras or spiritual centers, Los Angeles being one of them. And so you need to understand that the work of the planetary masters that govern our evolution and spiritual unfoldment, and those of other planetary worlds, work in one coordinated alliance. They're not different. They're not separate. And so every planet is a school of consciousness for the development of some particular quality that souls would like to study and perfect. And you could look at this whole solar system, this whole universe, one of many billions and gazillions of universes, you could look at it as one vast school of love wisdom. And that's what we're here to perfect in the human body. We are to manifest the Christ presence, the Christ principle. Please don't think of the Christ as belonging to any religion, any group, any doctrine, any scripture. The Christ, or the Messiah, or the world teacher comes for all. And he said quite clearly that if you try to follow him, worship him, put him up on a pedestal, he'll not be available to you. He will flee your presence. Because this time he comes forward as an elder brother, as the world teacher for everybody, but not as a religious figure, and not to be worshipped. He comes to live with you, side by side with you, to show you how to live, really live the art of living. It's an art. It's a beautiful thing when you know that you're hosting the divine principle of love wisdom within you, and you are able to manifest it. And he's come to teach that. Or you could say self-realization. But he's come to really bring forth our honesty, our truthfulness, our authentic sense of being, which he calls being able to practice honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and spirit he defines as that animating energy or shakti. So we're honest in our motivation, we're honest and sincere in what we put our energy into, and detachment. How many seminars have we done on detachment? So it's living in the world but not being under the domination of the world and the world's way of being, but to be in the world and not of it. So the declaration day is imminent, according to what Ashtar said a couple days ago to me. All I know is it's the things that are happening on the planet. I mean, you have to be under a rock somewhere not to see that changes are everywhere, and it looks like an acceleration of the earth changes and earth cleansings. And these things, as awful as they are for the people that are going through them, are necessary to bring the necessary cleansing and clearing of our atmosphere. And, you know, part of it is the fact that we don't control our emotions. We're just all over the map with our anger and our hatred and our fighting each other. And that upsets the climatic elemental spirits that govern the earth, wind, fire, and ether. And so the more we can chill and live centered and calm ourselves down and manage our emotions, the more that we will influence the normalization of our weather patterns and bringing things into balance. And that's part of what we're here to do as light workers. That's one of our tasks, is to live centered and connected and on purpose. You know, don't live sloppy. So the masters of Earth and the masters of other worlds work together in shepherding humanity. You know, in the East, humanity is referred to as calves. You know, in the Hindu tradition, we're called Gau, which means cow or calf. So Gopala was the name of Krishna when he was the shepherd, the good shepherd for the Gaus or the calves, cows. And in the West, we know the good shepherd that shepherds the sheep. And the sheep is a reference to, again, God's lambs, God's people, the innocent ones that don't do very well without the good shepherd. You got to stay under the watchful eye of the good shepherd. But the good shepherd never takes his eye off of you. And as you often see in that famous painting, where he will go and leave the 99 to find the one that is lost in the brambles. And that's probably any one of us at any given time. We tend to wander off on our own and get into trouble. But the hierarchy protects you. And one more thing, you don't really have to worry about the dark forces because the planetary hierarchy completely protects Earth and humanity from what you could call the lower astral entities that would try, if they could, to steal God's lambs and influence them negatively. But if you've made a commitment of your life to God, you don't have to worry about that. If you place yourself in a position to receive your highest good, you are, and you don't have to worry about it. So this is a very, very exciting time. If you want more information, I would suggest that you read the book. Alice Bailey and the Master DK wrote the book, Reappearance of the Christ, which I read in the mid-60s, which was a book recommended by the Ashtar Command in the studies that he was putting me and a group of people through who were being trained to work as teachers for the Ashtar Command. I've told you that story before. And then when I got into I became a student of the Arcane School, there was so much teaching about the coming of Maitreya. Maitreya would be coming. This would be the age of Maitreya. And it wasn't sure at that point, when the Bailey books were written, how he was going to manifest, whether he was going to overshadow or overlight, as I prefer to call it, a disciple that's already living in the world, or if he was going to come directly himself, and he hadn't decided yet. But in 1944, he knew that he was going to have to come forward and manifest his presence, whether it was through a disciple or not. So at that time, four different people were selected as potential instruments through which he could work. One of them is well known to us. It's Jiddu Krishnamurti. And for a while, he was being prepared to be the instrument. And then he started taking, according to the Master DK, he started taking initiation along the Devic line and began to lose touch with humanity and no longer would be a good, instrument for Lord Maitreya, who would be working with humanity. And also at that time, he became disenchanted with all the adulation and stuff he was receiving, and he quit the Order of the Star that he had been part of, that Dr. Annie Besant had, who was like his mother, had placed him in as the head. And so he disbanded the Order of the Star, which was a theosophical group, and became, as you know today, a great teacher. And if you like his teachings, well, it's very similar to Maitreya, what Maitreya will be teaching, because Maitreya is Krishnamurti's master. So anyway, it was decided then that the Lord Maitreya would come directly himself, physically. And so he began to construct what is called a Maya Virupa, which is a mentally created body, his being very, very unusual because it's virtually immortal, it's virtually indestructible, and will last without any refurbishing. And he will be the planetary Christ representative, the world teacher, for the next 2,500 years. and his body will look eternally youthful, and as I said, would be impervious to any kind of anything that would affect a normal physical body, because this is not a normal physical body. This is a very unusual physical form that he has manifested and created for himself. Now, his light body, his higher principled body, is at rest in Shambhala, which, again, is the Brotherhood's, his home, and the seat of the planetary logos, Sanat Kumara, who we could refer to as the Father, as Jesus did, who is the planetary logos of this planet Earth, that uses this planet as a vehicle of manifestation, let's say. And so they are in Shambhala, which is a abode, the abode of the Brotherhood, located about 17,500 feet in the Himalayas, but it's composed of the highest subplane of the etheric plane, the physical etheric. So you would not see it physically, but you can go to it in your soul body, if you're meant to, and I have gone there several times, and in my soul body, of course, not in my physical body. You don't go in your physical body there. But it's said that our highest principle, our Atmic Self, is present, that all of our Atmic principles are present in Shambhala. And so that's the home of the Master that we call the Lord Maitreya. It's the home of Sanat Kumara and others. And he left that abode and came into the modern world in July of 1977. And since then has been living in the Pakistani area of East London. I have seen him. I was catapulted directly into his physical presence, received his blessings in 1993, I think it was. I have told that story several times. I can tell it again at some point, but I want to continue with what I'm speaking of right now. The point is that there's a part of us sometimes that can be projected without our conscious knowing into his presence if it need be. But he can assume any kind of a guise at any time, in any way. I've had about 7, 8, 9 of these guises that he has assumed and appeared in all kinds of places that you wouldn't expect. So always be on the outlook, because you never know when you're having an encounter with the Lord. You'll probably know afterwards, because you can never forget it, and it fills you with such love. And if I have time, I'll share a few of those with you. But again, he comes forward at this time to introduce himself. I understand he's been now on, they did a documentary, according to the foremost person that has been speaking about Lord Maitreya, which is Benjamin Krem. For many decades, that's been his major work, and he's also worked with George Adamski and the Ashtar Command initially. And it was the Ashtar Command, I believe, that introduced him to Lord Maitreya. And since then, he has written many wonderful, wonderful books. So go to shareinternational.org if you want more information. You can subscribe to the wonderful magazine, Share International, and you can read all of the books that Benjamin Krem has written on Lord Maitreya and on the externalization of the planetary Christ and the Lords of the Masters of Wisdom. So if you're unfamiliar with the information, you can check that out. Again, shareinternational.org. I've been involved and connected with this information since Benjamin Krem first presented it. And again, I was introduced to the concept, or not the concept, but the fact of Maitreya and who he is back in the mid-60s. through the Ashtar Command and through the Alice Bailey books. But then the Agni Yoga books by the Rorics, Helena Rorick, it's constantly about the age of Maitreya and preparing for the age of Maitreya, all of that. So you might ask, okay, well, what's the difference between Maitreya and Sai Baba? In terms of the principle they embody, which would be the cosmic and planetary Christ, none in terms of the energy. They're both love wisdom. Sai Baba, however, is a guest that's come here through grace to be with us on the planet, to set the keynote for the golden age. Lord Maitreya is not from another planet. He's not from any place other than Earth. He's called the elder brother of humanity because he was the very, very first to attain initiation back in Atlantean times. So he is of the Earth. He's not from another planet, whereas Sai Baba is of cosmic origin. So he represents the Father, Mother, God principle, and the Lord Maitreya would represent the office of the Christ or the collective sonship or the Son of God, that energy. It's the same love wisdom, but in a different potency. And so we need to understand that the love wisdom principle is stepped down in many, many different beings in many, many different ways. It's commutated down so that everyone can tuck in. Everyone can find a resonance within that without having to define it within a particular religious understanding or doctrinal slant. And bringing forward the understanding of the unification of all religions, the synthesis of all of the teachings that have ever been given, is part of the work of Maitreya. It's part of the work of Sai Baba as well. And it's part of the work of the Master Jesus. So the Master Jesus is a disciple, was a disciple. He's now a Chohan himself, a Lord of the Sixth Ray, initiation. So it's fine if you just continue looking at the Christ as Jesus, because Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. But he also said, the Christ also dwells in you, and you are also a son of God. So the only problem is that we wanted to limit Christ to a singular body and a singular religious interpretation, and that's where we got into the problem. That's where it began to get distorted. And so this will all be clarified when the masters are actually out and openly teaching. Now, I understand Maitreya has been on, I believe they did a documentary of him on CNN, but it was never aired for whatever reason. And they also had him on several networks. I don't know who put him on or what the network was. And neither does Benjamin Krem, who has unfortunately passed away the last year or two. I guess it was last year he passed. But that said, he has spoken several times as an ordinary but rather remarkable spokesperson from the Asian community of London. And he cannot violate our consciousness by coming out and saying who he is or in any way suggesting that we believe anything. We have absolute sovereignty of free will, and the masters honor that. The only way he could declare himself would be if he were collectively invited on a major network, and then, you know, he could say, you know, his real name, and I don't know how he's going to do what he's going to do. That's his business. But I'm just saying he has to have the place prepared and the invitation on a very large official level before he could actually say who he is. So keep watching for someone that is very, very remarkable from the Asian community of London, and keep your eyes open. I don't watch the news and the talking heads very much, so Those of you that do are probably going to have to do that. But I have, as I have said, several encounters with him, both in his actual physical form, one time, and his many assumed guises, a whole variety of times, in United States, in Darjeeling, India, in Toronto, Canada, in, several times. In London, when I lived in London in 2000, that's when I had many, many encounters with his, what would you call them, projections or thought form projections, which look like real people. The only thing is, after you've had your encounter, they vanish. They vanish. You think you're talking to, a bag lady or a bag man or somebody on the street, and the next minute they vanish. So keep your eyes open. And sometimes he'll do things that'll make you, have judgment, like maybe he'll be sitting there with a beer, or maybe he'll have a cigarette in his hand, and to let you know that everyone is an embodiment of God. Everybody is divine. So don't criticize or look down on anyone. And so I can hear all of you wanting to hear the Maitreya story. Okay, here it is. In the workshops, I made two tours to England and throughout the British Isles with my workshops, doing Ascension, Ashtar Command, Ascension Activational Workshops, okay? This was the early 90s. I was in London. Of course, I have read all of Benjamin Graham's books and been connected to his information from the very get-go. He and I both come from an Alice Bailey background of training, the same masters, the same teaching, the same everything. So, I've through the years watched and participated with him every time he's come through the cities where I was. I would go see him and hear him speak and participate in his transmission meditation groups, which I did consecutively when I was living in London. I went each month to hear him speak. Participated in the transmission meditations. Of course, read all of his books. So I've been very much involved in this information, and I personally believe it's 100% accurate. I personally have had enough proof that there's no doubt in my mind that it's true. But anyway, just saying. So Solariel and Galandriel, another woman that was traveling with us, and I, asked a taxi driver to let us off in the Pakistani section of East London, around Brick Lane area, Whitechapel, Brick Lane, that area, where he was alleged to be living at that time. And we didn't actually know where that was or where to be let off, but we've kind of felt that we needed to be let off at that particular place. Nobody knows, the actual location of Maitreya. And so he let us off, and we started walking down the street, and I started to go into devotional fervor, devotional avastha, a mood of divine ecstasy. And tears, bhakti tears, started flowing down my cheeks. And I had to stop because I couldn't see to walk anymore. And I said, well, either a great saint lives nearby or we're close to Lord Maitreya, but I can't control myself. So there's a Indian tea shop. Let's go in there and have tea, see if I can control myself. So we went into this little typical Indian tea shop, sat down at the granite table like they have in India, same kind of thing. Little place. There were a couple men sitting in there. Otherwise, we were three ladies were alone. I no sooner sat down than I shot out of my body. I fell forward physically over the table, over my arms, shot out of my body like a bullet. And the next thing I knew, I was at the feet of Lord Maitreya. And I said, Master, and I fell at his feet. And he pulled me up to him, and he said, seek not for me without, for I walk every step of the way in this mission, and you will have ample proof of my presence in the times ahead. Bam! I'm back on at the table, coming back into my body. My two friends, too, had They hadn't actually consciously projected, but every one of them had a sense of Maitreya's presence and something happened to them, because we all kind of looked up at each other at the same time and went, wow. And I recently checked this story with Solario, my traveling companion and co-worker for many, many years. I checked it out with her to see if I remembered correctly and you know, some of the details to make sure I was accurate. And she corroborated the whole story. This was just not too long ago. So what was it like? Well, he was in a room that had a very, very high ceiling. It was bare. There was a cream-colored carpet on the floor and kind of cream-colored drapes, very tall, long drapes. There were two chelas on either side of him, two young boys, Asian boys, Indian boys, and they were dressed in pure white. He had on a white kurta and dark slacks. He was barefoot. He had black beard. Looks like those pictures of Maitreya, if you actually see them. There's some on the Share International website. He had a black beard, black hair, and he had like a white cap, like a Muslim cap. He is living in a Pakistani section and dresses as, and has the name, goes by a name of a regular Muslim person, Pakistani person. Although, again, he's not any religion, not any faith, but that's the group that is least receptive in some ways to these teachings, so maybe that's why he's adopted that particular appearance. I mean, who knows? But anyway, that was my experience, my direct experience. His eyes were magnificent. They were very, very black, very dark, and filled with light. And I was filled with such love. Oh, my God, I can't begin to tell you the ecstasy that I felt. And so subsequently, I spoke to several different groups, several different transmission groups, Maitreya groups. And it's funny, you know, people that are in the work, they sometimes are the last to get it. I remember years and years and years that I was in the Arcane School and in the Alice Bailey groups. And when I found my master, Sai Baba, and came back, I spoke to 11 different esoteric groups, Alice Bailey groups and Agni Yoga groups and different groups, and not one of them realized that this was the coming Lord that we had been waiting for. This was the Avatar. This was the Avatar that we had been speaking of. Now, I always associated Maitreya with Sai Baba. But there again, you have the cosmic level of the Christ principle and the Maitreya principle and the Kalki Avatar principle. And then you have the planetary representation of that, you see? So it's a stepping down at each level, where you learn to recognize and discern the energy rather than according it to one singular person. So yes, Sai Baba is Maitreya. Yes, Sai Baba is the Christ principle. Yes, yes, yes. And he is not serving that function specifically in the way that Lord Maitreya is. So when Lord Maitreya was asked about Sai Baba, he said, "I am the planetary Christ, but he is the cosmic Christ." And so, both Sai Baba and Lord Maitreya would often overlight Benjamin Cram as he was speaking. Usually, when somebody would ask about Sai Baba, he would immediately start to manifest through Benjamin Cram, and I was present many, many times when that took place. So these are wonderful, wonderful, exciting times. Unfortunately, many of the wonderful YouTubes of Lord Maitreya have been taken, and people who are looking always for an antichrist, God only knows why, certain people are putting more attention on antichrist and the devil than they are the Christ. I don't get it, what that fascination is. I guess it's fear. But unfortunately, many of the YouTubes have been spoiled by having a wonderful YouTube of Maitreya and some of his wonderful things, And then some group has written over it, you know, biblical scriptures, and this is the Antichrist, and beware, and all that stuff. Kind of spoils the whole thing, kind of gives you a bad taste in your mouth. So I'm just warning you, you know, there's going to be a lot of that out there. And unfortunately, these people will judge before they ever sample, they ever taste, they ever investigate. Like the people that write all the horrible things about Sai Baba. Most of them have never, ever made the effort to read any of his teachings or to have any direct experiences with him. And so, you know, we just have to go. Baba tells me always to stick with your own experience. Stick with your own experience. And don't let these naysayers confuse you or spoil you so that you miss the joy of being present for this Advent, this wonderful Advent. And so the masters generally work through their disciples. Now, that could be you. It's definitely me. And it's you if that's been your lot in life, as it has been for me. For some reason, I seem to be a grand central station where people say that when I speak about one of the masters that I embody that master immediately. They can see the master overlay me. I don't know why that is so. You know, like being projected out of my body. I mean, I certainly didn't try to do that. It shocked me as much as anybody else. But the masters generally, and the avatars, often overshadow or overlight their disciples and initiates, primarily when they're writing or speaking or teaching. And sometimes it's a partial ray of sending. Sometimes it's a combined sending of several different masters, and sometimes it's more or less continual. John Roger, the mystical traveler, was an example of that. For a while, he was just partially, overlighted by the traveler consciousness when he was teaching, and then it would lift off him. And then later, it became where it was continual, and he was always more or less in the mystical traveler consciousness. And so he would be an example, in this case, of being overlighted by his master, who was the Master Jesus. And then you'll have the ray of the Mother of the World, which will manifest through, you can see many examples of the ray of the Mother of the World manifesting through, for example, Mother Mira, Amici, Karuna Mai. Ananda Moima was an actual full avatar of the Divine Mother. It's a little bit different. That would be not just the sending of a ray, but a full embodiment of that divine principle, just like Sai Baba is a full embodiment of the cosmic Christ, and Maitreya is a full embodiment of the planetary Christ principle, with a capital P, remember. So avatars will also have aspects or limbs, angas, that are part of their potency. For example, like Krishna, who had his sister and his brother holding part of his potencies or his divine energy. And you have Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Ashtar Athena. We're all sendings of specific rays of consciousness through an instrument. These could be called qualified streams. These principles, where a qualification is where the quality, a particular quality, is sent or embodied in a being. So God is unlimited, you know, unlimited in ways to appear and manifest and contact and anyone at any time, and it's very exciting. We're in a time that's just like none other. So let me share with you how I experienced Shambhala the first time. This was in 1968. My husband at the time, who was a Venusian master in the physical world, he and I used to have metaphysical dinners where we would invite people who were deep thinkers and involved in the spiritual teachings to dine with us, and then we'd have wonderful discussions, spiritual discussions afterwards. So we had invited unbeknownst to me, a direct disciple of the Master Maurya was sitting at the table at the time. And he and I were very good friends. We were like brother and sister after a while. He and his wife introduced me to the Agni Yoga books and teachings. And we were truly spiritual family. But anyway, he handed me his wristwatch to psychometrize, because I've always been known to have abilities to pick up energies and discern and, you know, all that stuff. So I held his watch, and the next thing I knew, again, like with Lord Maitreya, I catapulted out of my body, boom, and I was flying through the air in my subtle body. I remembered flying over a fjord, you know, a beautiful body of water, and I went right into the side of a mountain. And standing at the entrance to this cave, which, you know, inside the mountain where I had landed, was one of the masters with a white, like a hooded cowl over his head, like a monk. And he didn't try to bar my entrance. So obviously I was summoned and allowed to have access to Shambhala. So I walked in, and as I walked in, these deep, deep, deep caverns that went down, 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 into these beautiful crystalline kind of like grottos, just incredibly beautiful. And I heard this deep resonant chanting. And it was in, you know, a foreign language. And so I followed the sound of the chanting deep, deep, deep down into the interior. And I came upon a group of monks that were in a circle around what was probably the Moksan flame. It's that divine flame that comes up. It's like blue and silver and ruby, scintillating kind of flame that doesn't burn you. It's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is the only way I could describe it. But out of that flame came a sword, like the Excalibur. It came right up out of the flame, and the sword began to circle over the heads of the monks as they were chanting. And that's all I remember of that. But bam, then I was back in my body at the dinner table. And this time, Elton, who was on the other side, looked up at the same time. And he also had been taken to Shambhala. So there we had the same experience. Now, what is that purpose? I don't know, other than it seems to be my lot to speak about these things and speak about them clearly. Because, you see, I don't have any one particular agenda. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I don't have anything to sell. I don't have anything. But I have had a tremendous, broad experience physically with the Masters, with Shambhala, with the extraterrestrials, with Lord Ashtar, with all of these teachers that have come through what I call the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood, which usually work out of sight. Usually they're the Masters like Kutumi and Moria and Jwal Kul, and all of those usually work out of sight. They're the ones that are coming now into the physical plane to live openly. The other branch of the Brotherhood is called the South Indian Lodge, and this would be like Sri Aurobindo's groups and Maharishi and Amaji and the many wonderful masters that are living and more accessible, men and women that are more accessible in India particularly, but many of them who have traveled, you know. There's a marvelous being that you can watch on YouTube that also travels by the name of Yogi Raj Siddhanath. Tremendous being that has a background that is just astounding. And he is a descendant of the Maharajas of Mysore, many, many generations of those kings and queens of Mysore, and is, in fact, a prince. But he's also a very enlightened being who obviously has a very deep background in esoteric and Vedic studies. So he does a really good job of explaining some of the connections between esotericism and the Vedic teachings. And by the way, as an aside, Lord Sananda, who is, again, the galactic embodiment of the energy of love, wisdom, or the Christ at a galactic level, is known in the Vedas as the Rishi Sananda. And the name Sananda means divine bliss. Sa is divine, Ananda, bliss. So you can read about Sananda Kumara, who's one of the Kumaras. There's Sanat Kumara, there's Sananda Kumara, and there's Sanatana Kumara, Sanaka Kumara is the third one. There's Sanat Kumara, Sananda Kumara, Sanaka Kumara, the three Kumaras that are still working with humanity on this planet. And they originally came here from Venus. And they're the ones that are called the Lords of the Flame and the Sacred Doctrine by Madame Blavatsky, and the ones that sent forth their aspects. For example, Jesus the Christ was an aspect of Sananda Kumara. Again, a ray from that great sun, that principle that we would call like a great sun. So, know that we're all connected. We're all connected. Oh, and one more really interesting thing. The Lord Maitreya has created a Merkaba that looks like a golden orb. It's manifested by thought, and it's what we could call an earth ship. It doesn't go into outer space. It goes on the earth. And it picks up people, even though it's made of etheric matter. It's densified so that you can physically, in your physical body, walk aboard. And when you do that, Maitreya takes you to various places in the world to observe different things that are going on. I have not had that experience, to my knowledge. If I did, and I'm sure I would have remembered it, I don't. So far as I know, I've never been on that orb, but maybe you have. It looks like, when you see it in the sky, and I've seen it many times, it looks like a golden orb. And Maitreya's star, as they call these four spaceships I spoke about in the beginning, was one of the signs that was foretelling the imminency of the return and the declaration, the day of declaration of Lord Maitreya. It feels to me like it's close, although, of course, I'm no authority on that. I'm just sharing what I was told and what I feel in my spirit, but I don't have any inside knowledge on that. So keep your eyes open. It's really, really exciting. Oh, my gosh, it's getting more exciting by the day. Hang in there. You've all got a role to play. Otherwise, you wouldn't be incarnated right now on the planet. All is well. You can't even begin to imagine the joy that awaits you. So this time of purification and stuff that we're going through, just hang in there. And don't be upset. And the other wonderful thing that's happening, I'll have to talk about in another show, is that apparently Sai Baba is operating in a subtle body and doing tremendous, tremendous service projects all over the planet. It's wonderful things. And I guess he's going, since he passed 10 years before he was supposed to leave, because he took on himself the Fukushima radioactivity, he took that full blast in his body and it killed him, basically. So now he's operating in his subtle body for that period of time that he would have been in the physical had he not taken that on. So he started manifesting, I think, in not too long after his... he's been manifesting in the subtle body, I think, for 5 years now. And it's pretty phenomenal, the things that are being built. Spiritual centers, hospitals, educational institutions, feeding programs, water programs, all sorts of stuff. But it's all free. Nothing is charged. And it requires the cooperation and the pooling of resources of the people who want to be part of this. It's part of participating in bringing these things to bear on the physical planet for all humanity. So we have got jobs to do. We have a whole world to prepare for Prema Sai Baba. Prema Sai Baba is going to be traveling throughout the world. Maitreya is going to be traveling throughout the world. The Masters of Wisdom are going to be traveling. And they're going to have their ashrams and their schools of initiation on the physical plane, openly visible, so that we can all participate in them. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. But I'm excited, I'm enthused, I'm pumped, and gosh, I've been at it a long, long time. It's been a long mission for me since the early 60s and even before that. So I've been working for this my whole life, and to finally be present, to see it manifest, I can't tell you how thrilled I am. And I'm just glad to share the good news with you. So let's take a deep breath. And let's go out chanting on IU. Again, another deep breath. Place your hands up, and we say blessings to all the beings of this and all of the worlds. May all be happy. May all have peaceful minds. May all be healthy. May all awaken to the divine Christ Self, that each soul is a manifestation of. May all awaken to the love that they are. Namaste.